Blog Talk Radio.
What I'm going to say next. It's always something. Always something devilish, probably. Hi, Rex. How are you tonight?
All righty. What's up?
I don't know. I don't know which end is up. Just kidding. But, yeah, not much is up. What's happening with you?
Oh, not a whole lot. It's finally stopped raining.
Yeah. Oh, that's a blessing. There's nothing worse than a whole bunch. My brother's actually getting flooded out there in California. He said so much for the drought, you know, let's push it all out. They lost power for like 24 hours, and yeah, it's just really been nasty for him. So I'm glad you don't have that much rain going on. We didn't have much here, thank God. That's a plus. That's a plus. There's crazy weather everywhere, I think. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So, happy Friday.
Yes,
Friday.
It is. Yes, again.
Yes, yes. We have a good Friday going on. We have three callers already. It's pretty amazing, huh? How about that? I'm gonna bring them on. One of them. And here we got Kate, Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
Okay. Just saying. Well, just saying.
Yeah, well, that would be pretty dangerous, me floating around. My kids would attest to that, too. Absolutely. And we also have Pam on the line. Hello, Pam. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. Hello, Jean. Hello, Rex. Hello, Weaver. Good to hear you all.
Hi, babe.
Hello.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, we also have Laurent with us. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the Friday night party.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening, Jean. Hey, Rex. Hey, Katie.
What's doing?
Hey, Pam.
Hello.
Hello.
Gene, I got to say, your brother's in for it because there's like three more of those Soren systems on the way for California.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. He's been shaking his head. Yeah, he was out of power from New Year's Eve until New Year's night. 23 hours.
Oh.
Well. But I'll have to keep track of him. Somebody's got to keep track of him. Yeah. This is my job. Anyway, should be interesting to see how that turns out. And, yeah, so I hope everyone's doing all right tonight. It's been kind of a quiet day here, thank God. I always appreciate the quiet. And, yeah, we got a nice little board, a little bit of poetry. And, yeah, I don't know if there's anything I'm forgetting to say, but Happy New Year's to everyone I didn't get to say Happy New Year's to, like, over the last 6 days. And every time I'm on, I try and say it just in case somebody new is listening. But in the meantime, we're all good. We're all good. Yeah, so I don't quite know. What's new with you, Pam? Anything exciting?
Anything exciting? No, not really. I did make a really good venison burger stew for lunch today, which was just perfect for a negative 12-degree day. I don't know if that's exciting, but, you know, that's my life.
Negative 12 can be a little exciting.
That's
pretty low to me. Pretty low to me. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, I think we've hit zero a couple times, and that was more than enough for me. So negative 12,
yeah.
I don't know about that. Yeah, that's not my kind of bag, but venison stew sounds good. Kate, what's new with you?
Nothing.
Well, I still haven't gotten those lottery numbers.
No, damn it. I know I meant to send you something. Damn it. I'll do it next week, definitely. I didn't get anything from Ernie this month.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny. Too funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so it's, well, but yeah, I'll forgive you. When you get them to me, I'll be happy to get them.
I'll do that, don't you worry. You'll be a millionaire.
If you ever sent them to me and I played them and we hit, I'd split it with you. Just because that would be just too ironic.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I'd love to be a millionaire. I'd make such a brilliant millionaire. What? Spend money like it was going out of fashion.
Oh my God! I'd be happy to be a half a millionaire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not super greedy. I just want enough. Just enough. Pay the bills.
Yes.
Pay things off.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. I could be happy, bro.
Well, I have a tip for you then. I have a tip. It's called the money corner.
Yeah.
If you stand in your doorway of your sitting room, stand in the doorway of your sitting room, everybody, and look at the far left-hand corner of your room, you put a little bowl, and you put a little glass bowl, and you put some money in it, and leave it there, and you will never not have enough. And I've never not had enough.
We have to be the best Scottish sensibility I have ever heard. I like that.
Scottish.
I gotta get a sitting room first.
Oh no!
Oh my gosh!
And you're 10 then.
That's pretty funny. Well, thank you for the advice, there, my friend. Thank you for the advice.
My pleasure.
What can I do about that?
Do it. Do it. It works.
I'll be brave. Sure. Sounds good. Why not? How about you? Better gonna be. Right? And Laurent, what's new with you on the sixth day of the year?
Just trying to stay just trying to keep up with Father Time, let's say.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes he's slow and sometimes he's fast.
I tried winding him the other night. He got really pissed at me.
Yeah, I bet. I bet he did. I bet he did. He's kind of temperamental. But what are you going to do?
Been watching the hearings on television. Fascinating stuff.
I hear you. I hear you. I believe it. Okay. Well, I just shake my head at the whole damn thing. It's about as good as it gets with me. Oh, look. Dana Davis saying he can't find the show link. Well, maybe if I had put it up, maybe he would have found it by now. Silly me. Silly, silly me. Hey, he's half-assed help I get. Nobody else intended there, just me. Okay, good. We got it. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to start out the show with poem by, I'm not quite sure who, but I think I have a truth. And this is a carryover from Richard's show on Thursday. Let me just grab that one. And Rex, whenever you are ready, this is by Scratch and Book. Called Flailing for a Language.
Okay.
Thank you.
Flailing for a Language by Scratch and Post. What has the year cradled up close, this trip around the sun, the year that has all but run out of sand trickling down? If gravity might dissolve just for a moment, perhaps, orbits better broken might be broken. Something so out of vogue is the fashion, but how I'd love me a fight. First rule of Fight Club, never talk about Fight Club. I want emergence as though a seed fell and left its shell behind, to venture like a phoenix from brave clothes. Only say the words and we shall be healed. Drink me, eat me, blessed rabbit hole of time, I ask. Is there enough eraser in you to erase all this ink and make me think like something unshackled from yesterday? I'm willing to pay. You'll be the same 10 years from now, but for two things, the books you read and the people you meet. Yes, I've heard all that before. My library is overstuffed. My circle of friends are not enough. Strike the match, O muse, down at the crossroads. Help me hatch a plan. Lash me to the mast and sail siren deep shoals. Fan to flame the burning coals of a brand new love. Help me to understand what I really am. Canyon loaded everything he owned into a boat and sank it all in the Tungring Lake. After that, we are told, he lived like a single leaf. I see him there treading water in the middle of the lake. The air is quiet. He turns and swims back toward the shore. He has never been seen before. And boom. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you?
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. You know, I always appreciate Scratch and poetry and the way it makes you think. I like his cultural social references, like the reference to Fight Club and the Alice in Wonderland reference. You know, this poem was beautifully written. I thought it had wonderful imagery and metaphors. And I thought it spoke well on the idea of pondering the winds of change and the course and of how, fate, change can happen like on a whim and unexpectedly. And I really particularly liked the line, strike the match when you down at the crossroads, help me hatch a plan, lash me to the mast and sail siren deep shoals, fan to flame the burning coals of a brand new love, help me understand what I really am. I like that it's that idea of that a poet searching for the purpose in their gift and their self-identity. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
This is a fascinating poem. It's very philosophical, which I like. I was going to quote what Pam did, so she saved me the trouble. I like the idea of unshackling. When he says, blessed rabbit hole of time, I ask, is there enough eraser in you to erase all this ink and make me think like something unshackled from yesterday? Idea of being unshackled from yesterday, from the past, from the, everything he's seen up to this point in his life is kind of gone over in the last couple of stanzas when he describes Pang Yun, who sank everything he owned into the Tung Ring Lake. After that, we are told he lived like a single leaf. When you get rid of all your worldly possessions, when you strip yourself right down to the bare essence, I think he's saying only then can you swim towards that shore that you've never seen before. Great piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, fascinating. Wow. It covers so much. I'm looking at this bit and I'm looking at that part and I'm thinking, what about this bit? It's really fascinating. That seeming so out of vogue is the fashion. But how I'd love me a fight. First rule of Fight Club. Never talk about club. I never seen the film. Yeah, I haven't ever seen it. But I just love those lines. It's just so clever. Yes. And then we have, of course, down the rabbit hole. Drink me, eat me. Blessed rabbit hole of time. Erase. Yes, I wouldn't mind erasing something. Yes. I thought it was very, very interesting. And I love the fact that he's talking about lash me to the mast and sail siren deep shoals. That's clever too. I like that. So yes, fascinating, very cleverly written, and very interesting. Scratch and post. Thank you very much for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a great write. Wonderful references throughout, and nicely penned and expressed. And I said it was just really well done. You know, I put this stanza. You know, strike the match. Oh, muse, down at the crossroads. Help me hatch a plan. Lash me to the mast and sail siren deep shoals. Stand to flame the burning coals of brand new love. Help me understand what I really am. I just think everything was so nicely done. I do like Scratch and Post writes. I don't think that we get to hear very many of them, but when we do, I appreciate them. So nice work, Scratch and Post, and thank you for sharing.
Yeah, well scratched.
Nice. I'll say that there's a couple of things in here that I kind of gravitate to. That sort of only say the words and we shall be healed. Drink me, eat me. There's a kind of note to spirituality in that, the wafer and the wine, so to speak, the rabbit hole of time. It goes deep and wanting that and needing that that thought to be unshackled from those bits of yesterday within that rabbit hole are strong. And offering, I'm willing to pay. And that's, I think that single line right there is something that needs to be gravitated to, because later on it hits on, oh, where is it? No, I lost it. Oh, bloody hell. Oh, crap. Oh, there it is. Strike the match, O muse, down at the crossroads. Help me hatch a plan. Crossroads has always been a reference to where one goes to make a deal with the devil, so to speak. So there's a cross thought within this. The spiritual ideal in that first bit, and then the angle I'm willing to pay, and then the venture down the crossroads that has a plan to walk that other side. So there might be a little bit more underlying in this than just the willingness to forget yesterday and walk in tomorrow. But then again, you hit on the back end of this, he turns and swings back towards the shore, a little bit of regret there, and he has never seen before. So be careful what you wish for, is my thought. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, Kate, I'm going to put the next one up for you, if you don't mind. And this
one's called
Come Join Me on a Carousel of Fire.
Okay.
Come join me on a carousel inspired by darkened auras. So whenever you're ready.
Right. Thank you, Dan. Just give me a moment. It seems I've got myself completely lost. This is what happens when you click buttons and nothing happens. Bear with me a moment, please. Da-da-da-da. No, this is not working, right? Ah, got it. Yes. Sorry, people. And you notice there was no dead air because I just mumbled my way through that. Come join me on a carousel of fire. Look at that picture. Verse 1. We met at the old country fair. I was mesmerized by flaming long hair. You were riding the merry-go-round with devotion, while the wind blew your locks up like an explosion, and we both spent the entire day there. Verse 2. When you finally slid off the horse side, you came over to me for a new kind of ride. We made love in the barn, kind of far, and in the back seat of my car, you ignited emotions that I just can't hide. Chorus, come join me on a carousel of fire. We'll go round and round until we both expire. The spark in your eyes I truly admire. You're playing games with me, and now the situation's dire. Verse 3. Last week I saw you with another man. How far can this relationship span? Because I've seen him before, and there's plenty more. Won't you please tell me if you can? Verse 4. Why would you play me like this? Do you ever think about me and wish? When you're out with your friends and the sun soon descends, then we come together and share a kiss? Chorus, altered. Come join me on a carousel of fire. We'll go round and round until we both expire. The spark in your eyes I truly admire, but you played games with me, and the situation's dire. Verse 5. I saw you crying on the old carousel, wanted to shrug my shoulders and say, oh well. But I went up to you and said you were through, those bastards could all rot in hell. Verse 6. You were drenched in gasoline and said, let go, if you know what I mean. There was no net to catch as I struck the match, and we created one hell of a scene. Chorus chains. Come join me on a carousel of fire. We'll go round and round until we both expire. Lost in the spark in your eyes I used to admire. No more games to play. Our situation's too dire. Come join me on a carousel of fire. We'll go round and round until we both expire. End poem.
Nice job.
Great reading. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Certainly. This is not a humorous poem in any way, but it takes, I think, the form of a limerick, which is generally reserved for humor, but it works well with this. There's much to like in this particular piece. I especially do like the chorus, the carousel of fire phrase. It's a very, very nice phrase. I can't really pick anything out as to my favorite. I like them all. Just an interesting piece, very well written, very inventive. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you, Laurent. And Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was nicely written. I noticed that she mentions her AN, that she feels like it could go to music, and I can definitely see that. It has a great lyrical quality. She mentions, has the beat to Josh Woodward's song Gallows Hill in my head to go with this. I've never heard that song. I'll have to take a listen. Now, I really like this right all the way through. I like how she took that picture as inspiration of the Flaming Carousel and just ran with it and gave us a right that the carousel and the flame becomes a metaphor, or the idea of diving headfirst into the flames of a dangerous relationship, and the idea of knowing that something's not right, but still keep going around in the same circles over and over again. I particularly liked, you were drenched in gasoline and said, let's go if you know what I mean. There was no net to catch as I struck the match, and we created one hell of a scene. Great lines and very well done.
All right, thank you, Pam. And Jeannie, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I thought this was a really well done piece. Let me see now. Oh, I am lost. Very good. A very well done piece, and I think that it was clever. I like how she drew from her other works to draw into this piece. I thought it was unique. I mean, it seems like she drew a couple lines, a line out of this poem, and one out of that poem, and you know, as you're coming down, I find that to be intriguing. That she found a way to pull those in, you know. So I thought that was good, and you know, I want to thank her for sharing. I mean, it really was well done, and yeah, I could imagine some music as well. So I'll be looking forward to that. That'd be nice to hear. Thanks, Doris.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, it was a fascinating read, I must admit. This is one obsessive love story, isn't it? Even taking it metaphorically. This is on a road to nowhere. Poor girl. She was really taken into the backseat of the car. Wow. I thought it was wonderful. I love the chorus. I love the way it changed subtly each time we got to it. I love something that joins everything together. I love a repeat. It's just a very comforting thing because you know what's coming, which is always great. But yes, I thought it was very clever. I really enjoyed it. Pretty hot stuff, is what I would say. Thank you, Dark and Laura.
Absolutely.
Great comments, everybody. I was thinking of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire while you were reading this. And those last... the last verse six on down kind of hit on that note. You were drenched in gasoline and said, "Let's go," if you know what I mean. There was no net to catch as I struck the match, and we created one hell of a scene. Come join me on that carousel of fire. We'll go round and round till we both expire. Lost the spark in your eyes I used to admire. No more games to play. Our situation too dire. Too dire. Come join me on the carousel of fire. We'll go round and round till we both expire. Well, that's both dark and bright in the moment. Hey, you know what? You might as well go out on top, a flaming glory.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, DA. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're coming back to see you.
Okay, Doc. Well, the next piece I have, I'm going to put up for Miss Pam to read. And this is A New Coat of Paint by Kiko. So whenever you're ready, Pam.
All right. A New Coat of Paint by Kiku. Or Lisa. Morning, perhaps, is like the morning sun shifting across an empty room. Sky still freshly swept through. Its poem softly coats our walls through dormer windows. But we do not regard winter's light like how we do not stop for brushed wildflowers so effortlessly speckled, growing off winding country roads. Though one has seen them does not mean one has known them. Comparison is that green thief of joy. Our upbringing, nothing but lines demarcating today with the vast vastness of yesterday's. Let us pick a new wallpaper, one that sun suggests to paint a warmer color for tomorrow. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Kate, let's start with you, please.
Okay. This is an ode to someone that she obviously cares about a lot. That's a tribute poem, which is lovely. People should do more of that, shouldn't they, while they're able to? But yes, mm-hmm. This is lovely. This is talking about redoing, repainting, redesigning the life that she's living, and trying to get it to be a little bit more comforting for her, I think. But it just seems a little sad to me. I hope it's not too sad. But I like the thought of, let us pick a new wallpaper, one that the sun suggests to paint a warmer color for tomorrow. That's lovely. That's looking forward, which is great. So thank you so much for sharing that. It's a lovely, lovely ode, Kiku.
Thank you there. Okay, Jean, how about you?
You know, I think that this was a lovely piece, very well done. And it starts out with morning, perhaps it's like a morning, the morning sun, shifting across an empty room, guys so freshly swept. What a beautiful way to start in on this. And sad in the same respect. I have to assume that she was mourning the loss of someone, you know, throughout this poem. And at the end it says, you know, in her author's notes, I felt it was a new year to have a couple more tribute poems to friends and family. Maybe two more after this one. Tribute poems are not common for me, but why not? So I guess, you know, in retrospect of the year gone by, you know, 4 years gone by, depending, you know, she opted to write for someone that she was missing. And I thought it was a lovely, lovely piece in that respect. I also like that line about let us pick a new wallpaper, one that the sun suggests to paint a warmer color for tomorrow. Just nice work. And thank you so much for sharing, Kiki. Really well done.
Thank you, Jean. And LaRock, how about you?
Like Jean says, this is a sad poem. When one mourns, when one grieves for someone, we tend to think of the times when they were alive, and we compare it to now, and we're not at all happy about it. This poem, as in it, I think the true essence of poetry, it takes an emotion, the emotion of grieving, and it uses wonderful metaphors to illustrate it. Like how we do not regard winter's light, like how we do not stop for brushed wildflowers, so effortlessly speckled, growing. Sometimes we don't take the time to appreciate that individual that we love so much, and investigate them a little more thoroughly. And please don't compare, because he calls comparison that green thief of joy, which is a wonderful line. And Katie quoted the last four lines, let us pick a new wallpaper when the sun suggests to paint a warmer color for tomorrow. It's a wonderful way of saying, you know, cheer up. There are things that we can do to help ourselves. And she doesn't really say that as much as she illustrates it so beautifully with her language.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yes, this is absolutely beautiful. It's a heartfelt tribute poem. I like what everybody had to say, and I agree with Lauren about how it really focuses in on the idea of the grieving process. You know, it has amazing imagery and metaphors, and it speaks to me on the idea of that you have to move forward with life while at the same time learning to embrace the grieving process and understand that it's a part of your life in that moment, and that things will never be the same as when you had that person still living. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. And I agree with you. That thought, the last few lines kind of hits on that note. Walking back towards the top, but also looking for something that separates a bit, allows one to move into a new realm of thought, past the unease and happiness and unhappiness, and looking for something a bit brighter than what they've already gone through. So, nicely done, Kiku. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Thank you, Doc. Lorana is the next one for you by S. Sharp, and it's called I Can Do It.
All right. I can do it. Sometimes streetlights dream. They are the moon, too. America, 50 stars of freedom. Hell of the possibilities pushing into the sky on a crisp summer night along the coastline of Massachusetts. Aspirations, dreams float upon the sea breezes. Nearly 250 years of I can do it. I am ready for the earth to have two moons. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Pam, let's start with you, please.
Yes, this is a really hard-hitting brevity with an edge to it. I like that it celebrates the possibility of dreams and the freedom that you have, the freedoms that we have in America. I feel like, I don't know, I could be wrong, but there almost seems to be a kind of sardonic bite to the end lines, particularly, dreams float upon the sea breeze nearly 250 years of I can do it. I am ready for the earth to have two moons. The idea that, you know, it makes me think of all the rich people who get to travel to the moon and or do whatever, basically what they want because they have money. And the idea of taking the concept of what freedom, you know, and possibility and rights is supposed to be, you know, to pursue happiness, but to not necessarily find it in unrealistic forms, such as the idea that Earth will have two moons just to please you. Anyways, I might be overthinking it, but that's some of the thoughts that came to my head. And as always, S. Sharp just has a fabulous write here, and Lawrence, you did a wonderful read.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I thought it was a great piece by Scott. Definitely something to think about. And the image, he made reference to check out the image in one of his response to a comment. And, you know, I kind of get it. You know, sometimes streetlights dream they're the moon, too. And the image is one of a very tall streetlight. The angle of the image makes it look very tall, just sitting below the moon. And I thought it was a clever take on that. Very, like, well-written. And I think that, you know, when he looked into it, he had to look, even though he looked at the same image as we did, I think he looked a little deeper into it and really made it into something much, much more. So wonderful job, Scott, and thanks for sharing with us. Great job with the prompt.
All right. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, it was. I mean, that is deep and interesting. Right. I'm not American, so I'm only going by what I can perceive from this. But are the 50 Stars of Freedom to do with the flag? America 50
yeah.
Stars of Freedom tell, yeah? I thought there was more. That's why I wasn't very sure. Tell of the possibilities pushing into the sky on a crisp summer night along the coastline of Massachusetts. Yes, and I actually liked what Pam said about the fact that people who have money can do all these things that the rest of us perhaps can only dream of. Money isn't everything, but it can give you everything, and that's the difference, I think. We wouldn't understand that. But being able to go, you know, slingshot round the moon and back would be, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it if you paid me. I don't go anywhere where I have to carry my own air. That's the way I look at it. But I thought this was very interesting. And I did like that America 50 Stars of Freedom tell the possibilities. It's beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Laurent, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, this poem works along a couple of different directions. Sometimes streetlights dream. Well, you know, we are all streetlights in one way or another. We light up a small portion of the world, not like the moon, of course. So we aspire to the moon. We aspire to the possibilities and these aspirations. But it also talks about the can-do spirit of America, 50 Stars of Freedom, nearly 250 years of I can do it. I'm ready for the earth to have two moons. On the one hand, one aspires to be a moon. On the other hand, we're ready to go to the moon again. Great piece.
I hadn't considered that. I like that. Nice. I walked kind of in the same line as you, Laurent, but I thought that last line kind of hit on the ease in the thought. I'm ready for the earth to have two moons, not just two moons to outstanding, the reference pointing back to the freedom born out of America, having another country walk that very same path within the very same ideals. Coming back to you, Gene.
Okay. That damn Eugene. You know, he just stepped out again. You know how it is. Can't count on him for nothing. So, that being said, I'm going to put up this piece by Arcana Amore called Dark Laments. And I have an audio for this, so here we go. Well, here we go.
Arcana, thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Laurent, let's start with you, please.
Cascading torrents of climbing incense cast spells that drift on poisoned promises, lost in kisses of melted enchantments that speak from pouting lips of lies. This is a lament indeed. It wonderfully voiced and presented. The reader really feels the loss of that the former love, offered in impassioned language that resonates both literally and figuratively. A wonderful work.
Excellent. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, as always, what an amazing performance. Love the balance between the background music and his reading and how the slightly faster beat compared to his slower, methodic reading complemented each other. I always like how Arcana uses alliteration and imagery in such a beautiful way that even when his poems are not rhyming poems, you feel like they rhyme because they just flow that beautifully. This is a wonderful dark rite. It's a haunting, has a haunting feel to it, and speaks to me on the idea of the memories of a love that's forever gone. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, I was totally mesmerized. You know, I actually wasn't even listening to the words so much towards the middle of it, just listening to the cadence of the voice, and it is totally mesmerizing. I love it. I don't care what he says. Just talk. I don't mind. Whatever. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. You've got so many stanzas, obviously, that you could pick from, but hidden behind walls of telltale tears, in the frozen embrace of liquid languor, to wash away haunts of piercing memories that shatter the peace with spilling sighs. That is sad and beautiful at the same time. So yes, as usual, man's a genius. Thank you so much for sharing, Arcana.
Excellent. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was just another fabulous piece by Arcana. His audio adds so much feeling to the piece itself because, you know, if you ever, like, skim past something, you know, you kind of lose something. But when you hear him reading it, you are totally mesmerized. I agree with you, Kate. And you're drawn in, and you feel all that emotion because he's putting it right there for you. There's no chance of you, you know, like sliding past something or what have you. And I do love how he paces us all when it comes to his reads. So just wonderfully done. And out of them, I have to say, I love those last three stanzas the best. And I'm not going to sit here and read all three. And you're all welcome. But definitely a wonderful piece. So thank you, Arcana, for sharing, as always. Absolutely.
Looks like Pam's wanting some fava beans.
Fava beans.
Oh, that's because Dammit Dave said that the rite has a Silence of the Lambs vibe. So I couldn't resist asking if somebody mentioned fava beans and nice candy.
Yes, I'm having a friend over for dinner tonight. Some Chianti and fava beans.
The nice Chianti. Don't forget the Chianti.
I think part of this rite was to take the cover, make it your own, offer up your thoughts. Dark Laments was supposed to be the name of the song too, Dark Laments, but also to create a listing for the album itself with songs to go along with it. And you notice they all walk the same thought, Dark Laments, Manifestation, Undying Devotion, Mystic Moondance, Corvus Corax, Ring of the Fallen, and then Where Darkness Grows, To the Flame, Dreams of Insomnia, Savage Shadows, My Lost Lenore, and Before Stars Fade Away. And I remember two of these, or at least have these done already, My Lost Lenore and Corvus Corax. So I'm wondering if he's also walked with the rest of them as well. I got to go check that out. Nicely done, Arcana.
All right. Little No Peep. Ooh, I'm not going there. Selena,
Little
Selena,
No Peep.
She's there. Yeah, that's what she said. Little No Peep.
Little No Peep.
Yeah, yeah. Too late now, Selena. We got this. She's funny. Oh, stay tight, though. I love it. Okay, the piece I'm going to put up is by Dammit Dave, and I'm going to try and give it a read without screwing it all up, as you know. But that would be about right. So here we go. Yeah. Get my eyeballs tuned in. Okay, this is called The Sound of a Faraway Train by Dammit Dave. Dammit Dave. He sits at the table and dreams of the way. Wait, let me do it again. She sits at the table and dreams of a way she can circumvent all of her pain. Her wishes dispersed, and she smiles as she hears the sweet sound of the faraway train. She wonders if it carries people or coal. Perhaps she can hop it someday. Riding the rails with the wind in her sails, her past slowly fading away. Alas, she is trapped by a marriage from hell, her life as his servant, her bane. So she packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. And home.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to kick it off.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Jean. Wonderful rhyming poem, as always, by Dammit Dave. And he got my attention right away from the beginning. Because, like, even if this write had simply been about a train or the sound of a train, I would have probably loved it. Because, you know, I there's something about the history of trains and the history of the train system throughout the United States that has always fascinated me. But then the fact that he takes it into this personal story of this woman who listens to the sound of the train whistles, listens to the trains going by, and wonders, you know, not only like what, who or what it's carrying, but if it can take her far away from this loveless marriage that she feels trapped in. And this is beautiful all the way through, but that emotional impact really came through in the last three stanzas, and especially last one. So she packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. Just beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
This is, as Pam says, it's beautifully rhymed. It's brilliant rhyming and rhythm. And, you know, the iconic sound of a faraway train takes us away. We ride the rails of our imagination, and it takes us heading for anywhere but where we are. And a lovely ending stanza. Fine, fine work.
All right. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, this is, damn it, Dave, damn well done. I like it a lot. I do like rhyme, of course. I'm a bit of a sucker for it. And he does it so beautifully that it gets to the point where you don't actually notice. You're just reading how beautiful it is. But what a shame, poor lady. I know how she feels. I've been there. Not so much fun. So she packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. Do you think she goes? Do you think she leaves him? I hope so. Damn it, Dave, you're going to have to tell me what happened. But beautiful as ever. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you. All right, Jean.
Oh, wait, Kate, I want to know. I thought this was a great poem by Dave. You know, as always, his meter and his flow, everything's perfect in it. And always on point. And I like her emotions throughout the poem were very well expressed. And I thought that was wonderful. There's nothing left to the imagination. And I'm kind of like, I got the last two stanzas. You know, alas, she is trapped by a marriage from hell, her life as his servant, her bane. So she packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. I love it. I thought it was great. It really did. I thought he did a fabulous job. So nice work, Dave, and thank you for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. That opening stanza kind of leaves it open. You don't know what is at risk there. And then that hits at the notion of her wishes dispersed and she smiles as she hears the sweet sound of a faraway train. So there's a hint, a glimmer of life and hope. And then the wondering and then riding the rails or past slowly fading away offers up more of that thought to hope, and it kind of gets dashed with that second last stanza, the alas, she is trapped by a marriage from hell, her life is disturbing her being. But that the decision being made in that last stanza offers up even more hope, even if it is as a hobo, so to speak, riding the rail. So nicely done, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gene, we're back up to you.
Well, thank you. Kate, I want you to know that Dave answered. He said she hooks up with a hobo named Sam. So that's where we're So how's that?
No, that's good. Thank you so much. I'm happy now.
Fibber. Okay, here we go. I got the next piece, and I'm going to put that up. And this is by Stelina. And this is called Echoes of Love. So let me hit that button for that audio. And here we go.
She dreams, listening for the familiar turn of his key, but anticipation of his kiss, her pulse quickens. Yet in her hapless heart, she knows he is gone and will never return. She hasn't changed the sheets since he left. She sleeps in the scent of him, holding on to the residue of his love, which fades a little more each day, until one day it will bid farewell completely, leaving her lying there, languidly lamenting for her lost love. She waits, she weeps, resting her head upon the small comfort of his forlorn sweater, holding on to shredded souvenirs. She is consumed by his absence. Where once hope grew, despair is now cultivated, as she is once more cruelly cast adrift. His words pierce her heart, but she reads them over and over, drinking in each stroke of his pen, for it is all she has left, a bittersweet memento. She closes her eyes. She imagines all his caresses, which denied her now, are safe to thrill another's skin. Night draws in, and the shadows of memories grow longer, their fingers probing her mind with visions of his suggestive smile, his knowing eyes, his eloquent hands. The ache for him is unbearable, pounding her every nerve and fiber to dust. His face is an indelible scar, which bleeds anew with every reminiscence.
Great read, Stelina. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Okie dokie. Oh, that was wonderful, Selena. I love that. The music was beautiful as well, but your voice, is it just conveys all the hurt and the anguish. And you can just imagine, you know, it's a thing. people hold on to the sweater or whatever of their loved one and just hold it and smell it and feel that they're still with them. Such a sad, sad, sad song, but very beautifully done. All his caresses, which denied her now, are saved to the thrill to fill another's skin. Oh, my goodness. That's like sticking a dagger in your heart, isn't it? Yes, I thought it was beautifully done. I really, really loved it. And it kind of touched me. Oh, beautifully done. Thank you for sharing.
All right, Kate. Thank you. Jean, how about you? Jean, are you there?
I had my whole comment out by then. You're getting slow, right? Just saying. Jeez. Well, son of a gun. Selena, I thought this was a great poem of love and longing. Well penned and a great use of alliteration throughout. Wonderful imagery and expression of emotions. Just a really well done piece, son. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thanks, Ab.
Nice. Thank you. And LaRock, how about you?
What a great piece this is. She sleeps in the scent of him, holding on to the residue of his love. The ache for him is unbearable, pounding her every nerve and fiber to dust. His face is an indelible scar, which bleeds anew with every reminiscence. Selena really captures the emotion of love lost so well in this, right? Words and employing words and phrases we can lose ourselves in, remembering when we felt this way as well, bereft and abandoned, alone in our pain. This was stellar writing, Selena.
Excellent. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful, wonderful imagery throughout. It's a emotive write on the idea of the scars left on the spirit by a love that leaves and betrays. I like that she writes about a woman who has gotten that Dear Jane letter. And this really has a bite of reality to it, especially in the line where it mentions he hasn't changed the sheets since he left. I thought that really speaks well on the kind of like depression that you go into when your heart is broken, where you just can't even take care of regular chores. But I did particularly like holding on to shredded souvenirs. She was consumed by his absence, where once hope grew, despair is now cultivated. Wonderful line, beautifully written, and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, everyone. Selena, the music was deep, dark, painful, and each pull on the string kind of hit on the note of drawing out that pain even more. And that picture offers up almost, it's almost like a death scene, and you wrote it within that very same vein, the pain coming out with each stroke of your pen, and the notes of the music itself. And it does walk along that line of the final, one's final notes before saying goodbye to the world itself, because that picture kind of hits on the sort of, without the words, it looks like a death scene. And the words have taken that letter, has ripped the last, her epitaph, so to speak, as well as what you got here, the back end of it. To ache when it is unbearable, pounding her every nerve and fiber to dust. His face is an indelible scar, which bleeds anew with every reminiscence. That was almost like I can't take any more cruel world. Nicely written. All right, Jean, way back to you.
Okie doke. Kate, I'm going to ask you to read the next one for me. And this is by Miriam Kilmer. It's called Our Thoughts and Prayers.
Yes, my dear. One second, I'll get there. So what was that one? What was it called again? Our Thoughts and Prayers. Yeah, got it. Got it. Just takes me a minute. I'll get there. Our Thoughts and Prayers Are With You. My thoughts are weighted with unyielding grief. My prayers rise up like glaring rockets to the skies. Maker of all, mother of all, God of the universe, hear me in my anguish. With tortured mind, uncomprehending, with grief and shock shared by so many, I freeze, I shudder, sick. All you defending angels fly with maelstroms in your wings. All gods descend in showers of blinding light. Saints come singing with voices like trumpets, and people of all the ages rise. Crowd out the gathering gloom. Help us, help us. Your sweet earth, your oceans blue and green, white with foam and dark, all swirling together, reflecting rolling thunderheads and seeing spacious skies. Gather your powers, your whistling winds, your clouds of dust, your teeming waters. Send forth a storm, and like all others, raucous rain to flush out the guilt of a nation, billowing thunder and crackling lightning to rivet our concentration. Torrid infernos blast away cold-heartedness, scorch our fields, our amber waves of grain, leaving the soul renewed, churning tornadoes, gash our apathy, dazzling blizzards baffle the onslaught of spree assassins. Black, moist, crumbling earth, bury our ammunition, seal it deep in impervious coffins. Rocks, break your silence, wild mountains, mystic canyons, diamond deserts. Break forth in beauty like the lily. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. Through chaos, dark and rude, send out the odor of Queen of the Night. I hear my people crying out. Their wailing swells the breeze. Let all that breathe shout out with us against deceitful promises and promises unfulfilled. Scream, people, scream, like the tantrums of obstinate toddlers. Cheeks stained with shining tears, faces twisted with rage, fists clenched in bold rebellion, flailing limbs pounding the floor. Make your voice heard at the polls. Sound off with your votes. Fly at the bastions of passivity, stern as the grave. Climb up the big high walls of disregard. Clear the clogged drains of undiscussed religion. Fathom the misty deeps of cryptic prayers. Challenge the static thoughts of powerful people. Cling to your indignation, sharp and fresh. Keep before your eyes this appalling image, the icy still eyes of the slain. Keep in your ears their shrieks as they fell and the sobs of their loved ones. Breathe in the smell of gunpowder burning and pools of congealing blood. Hold your tongue, the bitter salt taste of their tears. Feel in your body the raw bleeding wounds of survivors, the poison of lead in their flesh. Gather your senses, jumpstart your heart. Now may the higher power in each of us make use of our terror and rage. Give us courage and comfort and steadfast love. Who will be next to fall? Life-giving breath of the universe, spirit of fierce compassion, teach us to treasure the troubled people in terrible pain, do terrible things. Come, let us take from their hands their terrible toys. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is a call to arms against arms. I don't doubt that she's not writing about a lot of the misery in this country, but especially that of the what she calls the spree assassin, the casual shooter who shoots at schools, who shoots up shopping centers without any rhyme or reason. And she condemns us for that. She speaks about our guilt. And she asks nature to join in the fight. She calls on blizzards. She calls on, oh gosh, so much. I'm trying to find, dazzling blizzards baffle the onslaught of spree assassins. black, moist, crumbling earth. Bury our ammunition. Rocks, break your silence. Just, this is a special piece. It really is. I don't know how long it took to write it, but it's got a great flow. Doesn't really tend to repeat any section of the emotion, but just keeps inching forward, giving us more and more and more. Just, this is a great piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Pam, how about you?
This is definitely a brilliant and heartfelt write, powerful, hard-hitting line. I like that it's a prayer, that it's a call for people to use their voices. It's the idea that, you know, that there is a higher power in the universe that we can call out to for prayer, with prayer, but at the same time, we need to do our part. We need to use our voices. We need to use our votes, you know. I really like this all the way through, but some of my favorite parts were, you sweet earth, you oceans blue and green, white with foam and dark, all swirling together, reflecting rolling thunderheads and sighing spacious skies. Gather your powers, your whistling winds, your clouds of dust, your teeming waters. You know, and I like that. And I also like, hear my people crying out, their wailing swells the breeze. Let all that breeze shout out with us against deceitful promises. I think that she used deceitful promises was really an excellent part, because it speaks on the idea of those, you know, betrayals that have happened throughout history. You know, particularly I think of like with Native American people, but, you know, throughout history in other areas too. And beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was beautifully written by Miriam. The imagery was well done and powerful thoughts throughout. And I have to say, you know, the last two stanzas, I thought the whole thing was really great. But I grabbed those up. Now may the higher power in each of us make use of our terror and rage. Give us courage and comfort and steadfast love. Who will be next this fall? Live life-giving breath of the universe, spirit of fierce compassion. Teach us to treasure the troubled. People in terrible pain do terrible things. Come, let us take from their hands their terrible toys. Just a wonderful way to wrap that whole piece up. And a wonderful, wonderful write, Miriam. And thank you for sharing with us. Absolutely.
All right, Jean, thank you. And Kate, you got to read it. How about you, now that you've had a drink?
Thank you. I tend to be losing my voice quite a lot these days. I do apologize. And I stumbled a couple of times, so I apologize for that as well. But I thought this was full of passion, obviously. I mean, I envy anybody who has a belief. It's a great thing to have something to hang on to hold on to try and help you through various things in your life. And this one, obviously, as you say, it must have taken a long time to write it, but it's concise. It's passionate. It's full of pomp and circumstance, but it's very neat as well. I thought that was excellent. There is nothing missing or nothing that shouldn't be there. It just rolls beautifully. It was a pleasure to read, and I think a lot of people should listen to this and make your voices heard and sound off with your votes, because that's really the only thing we have is our ability to say, no, we do not want that, and yes, we want this. So, yeah, I hope a lot of people read it, because it was well worth reading. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're right. It's a very strong piece, and with some underlying other notes, hints at Sodom and Gomorrah, the sort of the flood to wash away that which is, as well as the single line, clear the clogged drains of undiscussed religion, fathom the misty deeps of cryptic prayer, challenge the static thought of powerful people, clear, cling to your indignation sharp and fresh. Those four lines were wonderfully etched into the piece as well. So nicely done, Miriam. Thank you very much. All right, Jeanine, we're back to you.
Okay. Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Poetic Picasso, and called The Strange Case of Mr. Voldemort. So, here we go. Let me find the button. Okay.
My attention for the last 3 years have been repeatedly drawn to the subject of mesmerism. And about 9 months ago, it occurred to me quite suddenly that in a series of experiments made hitherto, there had been a very remarkable and most unaccountable mission. No person had as yet been mesmerized in articulo mortis till I met Mr. Voldemort. The subject that partook in my experiment was rather intellectual, but he was also a hypochondriac man obsessed with lingering death. This was an ominous sign of a troubled man facing his dark demons of a certain heightened state of trepidation and consternation. I had decided through the mechanism of hypnosis to unravel the secret to the mystery that had bounded me to the patient's deplorable condition. I was willing to explore beyond the parameters of human comprehension, not knowing that these boundaries were full of an irreversible return. Steadfastly and so meticulously, he had proceeded with the hypnosis, the death was lurking behind the spooky draperies of the opaque room, but the subject had entered deeply to a powerful trance and left him asleep. For 7 whole months, till he awoke from the chasm of his phantasmagoria. He felt a pulse, halt beat, the perceptible breathing. His skin was cold and pale. His throat and tongue tried to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen within the agonizing clutch of demise. As his solid body melted away to the ashen ore of dripping liquid that had remained of Mr. Voldemort.
For God's sake, quick, quick, put me to sleep. Oh, quick, waken me. Quick, I say to you that I am dead. No, no.
What row?
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, start with you.
All right. Yes, this is an epic dark rite. I like how he took his inspiration from Poe and with his own use of very classical and intelligent use of language, he brought to life the character. When the voice at the end changed, I thought he reflected well within that voice change the idea of someone going mad. You know, there's so many just great word choices in here. I particularly like that the subject that partook in my experiment was rather intellectual, but he was also a hypochondriac man obsessed with lingering death. And this was an ominous sign of troubled man facing his dark demons with a certain heightened state of trepidation and consternation. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I thought that this was really well done, and I have to make sure that I'm off mute because I don't know anymore. Okay. I think it was a wonderful piece, Frank. Great tale told here. And I pulled out, without a pulse, heartbeat, or perceptible breathing, his skin was cold and pale. His certain tongue tried to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen. within the agonizing clutch of demise, as his solid body melted away into the ashen horror of dripping liquid, that he remained of Mr. Voldemort. For God's sake, quick, quick, put me to sleep. Or quick, wake me. Quick, I say to you that I am dead. No, no. I thought that was a great ending stanza in that. And just a very well done piece. As always, you know, the audio was pristine. You know, he's always on top of it with his reads and his writes. So excellent job, Frank, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. And Ron, how about you?
Oh, I'm ashamed to say I've never read that piece by Poe. That's one I missed. But I'm familiar enough with Poe's style that I can appreciate the writing in this, which is, he has a very good grasp of the way that Poe writes and tells the story, I think, in the way that, well, it is a parody, but in the way that that Poe would have done so. And what I appreciate is the writing. It's really nonpareil, especially in the last stanza. His taut lips and jaws were frozen in the agonizing clutch of demise as his solid body melted away into the ashen horror of dripping liquid that had remained of Mr. Voldemort. Great use of the voice, great use of the pen. Love the piece.
All right, thank you. And Kate, how about you?
Spooky. Frank, it was wonderful. I liked it so much. And I'm thinking, I hope you didn't have to pay that actor a lot of money for reading those lines for you. And then I realized it was you. That was great. I loved it. So creepy. You can imagine somebody terrified of death and lingering death decides he would let himself be hypnotized to see if he can, what, cure himself or something, I presume. But I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. You can hear Poe going, yeah, this is very good. I like it. So thank you for sharing. It's wonderful.
All right. Great comments, everybody. This was a most enjoyable piece, and really did hit that story. When Poe wrote this, it came out as a short story, and he offered it up without any particular detail. So people thought it was actually a true story. And then correspondence, he had to alleviate the notion, saying, no, this is fictional. So I like that the initial turn with that with Poe. And this kind of walks along that very same thought. That notion at the back end, Mr. Voldemort is scheduled, his doctor told him he's supposed to die at midnight the following day, so hence his role into going to this mesmerist. I like the thought of mesmerist. Nobody uses that anymore. And the back end of this, 7 months of a comatose state, but actually he is already dead, so to speak. And that thought of, but his thought lifts and jaws are frozen within the agonizing clutch of demise. I got a little touch of Mr. Sardonicus in that note, and the back end of this is a nice touch. Put me to sleep, quick, quick, waken me, quick. I say to you that I am dead. And then that groaning, nah. Nice touch there, Frank. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Thank you, Dozy. Well, the next one I want to put up is for Pam Ray. Pam Ray, can I get you to read this next one for me? It's called The Thorns That Stand on the Edge.
Oh, sure, sure. I can read for that troublemaker. All right. The thorns that... Oh, you know what? I am really sorry, Jean. I decided to switch out my poem. And I forgot to tell you, but can I please read the one I switched out for? Why are you laughing at me, Rex?
What are you doing?
I apologize.
Oh, God help me. I don't know. I grabbed it. There you go. I got it. She is a troublemaker. You got that right. Just saying.
Yeah. I know. All right. I decided to read my poem that I wrote for the first time for one of Stelina's contests to one of her music prompts. So This is the melting amber of winter trumpets, and it goes like this. I see shades of sawdust in your eyes. I'm chafed upon the threshing floor. You sing such lovely lullabies springing forth from lust and gore. I can't remember my old name. It was casted far away, and every scar that I wear is just another empty day. Death is such a charming word, speaking in a torrid lisp. It lights my path to purgatory like a weeping will-o'-wisp. I need to know my fortune, the plucking of my thread. I need to hear the bullets cry and mix the blood with lead. I desire to sing to the autumn moon before you take my hollow throat. I need to speak of empires torn with every lingering note. I need to serenade the withering crops that are sickened with disease, knowing love was sacrificed as the heart fell to its knees. I see the burning crimson drops that cling to your cold smile. I hear the trumpet sound of winter and all that you'll defile. I offered you my pearls of flesh. I offered you my soul. You took them both to molten streams, and I'll never be made whole. Tell me now the whispered secrets of your umbered universe. Let me surrender to the sword stains that breathe your caustic curse. I beg that you would claim me now against the melting amber wall, and do not catch me as I scream. Let no mercy brace my fall. The swirling dust is forever rising. The stolen coal is burning bright, and I can feel the throbbing hunger of creations made for night. There is a beautiful silence that lingers between our moans, and moonlight is the unveiled sight of nefarious pleasures once unknown. End poem.
Great read, Anne. Thank you very much. And Jean, you get to comment first. I'm mute, though.
So now, he thinks that I should be on the ball here and on top of it, okay? It's a wonderful poem, Pam, absolutely. And I love the rhyme and meter throughout. I was trying to figure out which stanza I really wanted to take on. But here, death is such a charming word, speaking in a torrid lisp. It lights my path to purgatory like a weeping little wisp. I need to know my fortune, the plucking of my thread. I need to hear the bullets cry and mix the blood with lead. Wow, Pam, I know I never want to make you mad. That's what I'm going to say. it's really it's so precise, the lines and the way you meld things together. There's a great precision to all of it. And I think that you did a wonderful job with this. I'm not familiar with what the song is, so I don't want to lie and say I do. But I think it is a great standalone piece and very well done.
Thank you.
And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes. As usual, beautifully read and a lovely piece of work. I liked it so much. I just love the way it just flows. There is nothing in there that would make you stumble. It just flows beautifully. And so beautifully put together. Death is such a charming word, speaking in a torrid lisp. It lights my path to purgatory like a weeping will-o'-wisp. I mean, perfect. I liked it so much. There's so much in this that I'd like to read out, but I'm not going to keep doing that. Because that would just be everybody else wants to speak about it as well. But I have to say, it was... It was so lovely to listen to. That's what I like about the way you write. It's just a pleasure because nothing jars you. There is a beautiful silence that lingers between our moans, and that's just two beautiful sentences there. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Pam. It was lovely.
Thank you, Weaver.
And Laurent, how about you?
Wow. Tell me now the whispered secrets of your umbered universe. Let me surrender to the sordid stains that breeds your caustic curse. I need to know my fortune, the plucking of my thread. I need to hear the bullets cry mixed the blood with lead. Absolutely perfect rhyming, mixed with image and emotion, really make this a memorable rite. There's so much to appreciate. The emotion is strong, story well told. Should do very well in the contest.
Thank you, Lauren.
Nice, Lauren. Thank you. All right, Pam. It's dark and disturbing, but I like the opening. I see shades of sawdust in your eyes. I'm chaff upon the threshing floor. You sing such lovely melodies, springing forth from lust and gore. Right off, you start with the thought of, you've made a deal, and it's come to birth itself. The thought of threshing floor, that even offers up the thought of there's more going on than just the threshing, so to speak. Then death is such a charming word, the Tartarus, purgatory, the will of wisp. So you've made a deal with the devil. And there's a kind of a note to, I see the burning crimson drops that cling to your cold smile. I hear the trumpet sound of winter and all that you'll defile. I offered you my thrones of flesh. I offered you my soul. You took them both to molten streams, and I'll never be made whole. There's kind of a sense of regret in that stanza itself. And then you finish out with the swelling gust is forever rising. The stolen coal is burning bright, and I can feel the throbbing hunger of creations made for night. Kind of hits on the angle of not the deal made with the devil, but the deal made with the vampire.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. Very cool. Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. And back to you, Jean.
Oh, Eugene.
I'm talking to you about Eugene being gone, and I'm the one who's gone this time. Wow. I'm telling you. Okay. I have one here. I'm going to put this up. This is by Weaver. And Miss Weaver, this one is called Dance. And I have an audio for that. So here we go.
How could you leave? I feel ripped apart. Eyes red-rimmed. Crying in despair, sobs shaking my body, chest tight, banded with pain. The silver cord uniting us, brutally severed. I writhe in agony, while he remains untroubled. Months pass, and I'm slowly able to mend. What was pain beyond belief had been conquered and dulled. Yet I can't ever trust again. You knock on my door looking for work, boyish, yet all man. I ask you in, turn and stumble. You smile. I feel passion boiling beneath. Your hand touches my waist as my body melts into yours. No music can be heard, yet we are simply the vertical expression of a horizontal desire. You pull back, whisper against my mouth, do you want me to stop? I gasp in protest, wrap myself around you. You start to feverishly undress each other. You sigh with pleasure as you touch my skin, hands, lips, limbs, entangled, striving towards release. Both aware how lucky we are to have found each other. Let the dance of love begin.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. And Pam, you get to kick it off.
Yes. First of all, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I always love listening to you read, Kate, because you got such a beautiful voice. This is a wonderful sensual rite, a wonderful story rite, but I like that it doesn't start out sensual. We first get the emotional impact of this woman whose heart has been broken. How could he leave? I feel ripped apart, eyes red-rimmed, crying in despair. And then you very nicely do the transition of months pass and I'm slowly able to mend, and the knocking on the door and ooh la la, and then things pick up from there. And what I really like about this is no holds bar a woman who has decided to cast aside her broken heart, say, you know, broken heart be damned. I got a sexy man at the door, and I'm taking advantage of this. You know, I really like the sensuality and the intensity of it as it builds up. Hands, lips, limbs entangled, striving towards release, but aware how lucky we are to have found each other. Let the dance of love begin. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, my dear. Very kind.
And Laurent, how about you?
Weaver, 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 how you dally with wonderful words. No music can be heard, yet we are simply the vertical expression of a horizontal desire. You write so well, turning sadness to passion, celebrating the dance of love, which heals old wounds, and how you went from sorrow to that horizontal passion is just wonderful.
All right. And Jean, how about you?
I thought this was fabulous. It almost came 100%. I love how it started out one way. And then as that as one changes, the change of how she felt in the beginning comes across him. And then someone comes to the door and this whole different thought process starts. And I love that very much, Weaver. Another wonderful tale told on your part, and very much enjoyed it. So nice work. And
thank you.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this did start out kind of brutal, and then with that turn, the knock on the door, all of a sudden it's kind of instead of the running of the bull, so to speak, it was the running of the cougar, because everything got lit in the moment. And that horizontal angle kind of led right in, hey, we're going to be doing the mattress mambo, don't you dare stop. And everything just kind of walks into its natural abode.
Great job. Nice.
And
nice.
We're coming back to you, Jean.
Okay. You grabbed the next one. You just slid that one in there. I heard it. Okay, now the next one I have up for you is called Fields of Whispers.
Thank you. That's familiar somehow. That's familiar. Fields of Whispers. He was fashioned to be sharpest of blades. Shylock, swaddled in wealth, born among the towers of the universe, a sharpened frame of reference, red shift to blue without conversion. See him with the nether on. Flex of lives, perilous edges, cutting at width. Nebulous fog of blood drips, curling on human drum skins, flesh writhing, riddled by the roots of despair, hollow windings bordering paths of broken promises. Signposts turned against the compass, carefully stumbling, eyes forward, we follow the wind of a voice that aches with possibilities. No breeze ever blew so sweetly or so deadly. His, always the final utterance. Words dressed in silk. Last sacrifices mouthed as if a golden treasure. So many weapons issue from his lips. Deadly darts finding the bullseye of belief. Poison tips that turn us rancid, spoiled, sickened, a living metamorphosis into an unfeeling, maddened mob, bent on sublimation of truth. Twisted grave markers are everywhere, bearing familiar names, each liberated, vague ghosts echoing strange salvations from fields of whispers no one listens to anymore. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Beautifully done. I really, really enjoyed listening to you read that. It's gorgeous. So this was somebody. I'm sorry, I'm reading and I shouldn't do that. Signpost turned against the compass, carefully stumbling, eyes forward. We follow the wind of a voice that aches with possibilities. I mean, that can happen. That you can find within our history, there are people who could mesmerize a crowd. They could talk total garbage, but because they did it with such passion, and because they usually tried to get to the baser instincts of people, people would follow. They would follow that voice, and they would do what that voice said was the right thing to do, and it always happened. And that's kind of what I'm getting here. No breeze ever blew so sweetly or so deadly. He always, the final utterance, words dressed in silk. Yeah, you see, somebody who could talk well, who could persuade people, last sacrifices mouthed as if a golden treasure. Mm-hmm. I thought this was beautifully done, and I really enjoyed your read, so thank you so much, Laurent. It's great.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you.
Nice, Kate. Jean, how about you?
I thought it was a well-penned piece. Many truths were spoken there and nicely expressed. So many weapons issue from his lips, deadly darts finding the bullseye of belief, poison tips that turn us rancid, spoiled, sickened, a living metamorphosis into an unfeeling maiden mob. I think you did a great job with it, Laurent. Nice job. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean.
All right. Mm-hmm. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really like this one. It's beautifully written, just amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks to me on the idea of cruelty and the misuse of power. I really liked this all the way through, but what especially grabbed my attention was nebulous fog of blood drips purling on human drum skins, flesh writhing riddled by the roots of despair, hollowed winding bordering paths of broken promises. And it actually, I was listening to the podcast Weird Darkness, which usually covers things like ghosts and aliens, but he happened to have a show today on the atrocities done, the experiments done in Nazi concentration camps. And at the end of the show, he addressed the fact that it wasn't his usual kind of topic, the host did, and said, but he was sharing it because we have to remember that evil like this has happened, atrocities like this has happened. And I feel like that this poem does that same thing. It reminds us that there is evil out there, and that we need to always, be on guard against those who would treat people as if they are not people. Just an amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Well said, everybody. This hits me with the idea of beware the vain notes of ideologies that speak, though you may want a hint of that which comes forth through those lips. Beware of that which does come, because you may not like the back end of what is, because it never offers up its true space.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, next one I'm going to put up like this for you. And this is called Monochroic Monomorphic by Luke J.R. Mm.
Oh, I see. Monochroic Monomorphic. Grandma. Don't play the notes, play the meaning instead. I'm not sure I know the meaning, I only know colors. Oh dear, I'm blind. I'm sorry to surprise you. Grandma, it's okay. I'm sorry to disappoint you. No, it's okay. You're really just a darling. It's not okay. I'm really just disappointing. Laid out in front of her, white and black, uncomfortable seat beneath her, her mind hazy and on crack. Drugs made her mind go spiraling. Feel it in your heart. Listen to the rhythm. flow it through your fingers, play a little tune, feel it in your heart, hold on to the rhythm, blow it through your fingers, your hands are clean. I close my eyes, I listen to my heart, I ignore the lies, I prepare to start. I remember your voice, it made me feel warm, warmer than the cold hands that taught me. Feel it in your heart, listen to the rhythm, flow it through your fingertips like droplets of musical notes. Listen to the heart, try again if it doesn't start. Even if it falls short, flatlining is okay. It's a reminder of the disappointment. And poem. Okay. Pam, let's start with you.
All right. Well, first of all, let me compliment you on your wonderful read as a, both a grandmother and a little girl. You actually did really well there, I think. But, no, I thought this was a great narrative write. I like how he went with the back and forth between the two characters, the grandmother and the little girl. And it's emotional. It's heartfelt. I really like the way that he shows how, despite differences, music can connect family. It can connect generations. There was a reality to this, and especially, you know, where the little girl feels like she's disappointed her grandmother, but then realizes at the end the idea of the love of the love that they shared. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
I like the juxtaposition of the dialogue with the poetry and the examination of music and how it can really connect people of disparate lives and of the closely tied familial lives. It's written in a very natural way. I love the lines, feel it in your heart, listen to the rhythm, flow it through your fingers, play a little tune, feel it in your heart, hold on to the rhythm, flow it through fingers, your hands are cold. Well done.
Nice. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this was another lovely write. This is just, it's just wonderful. I like the fact that two of them, the dialogue is going on within this poem. I like that a lot. So you're getting to actually hear what each one is saying to the other. And both decided that they're disappointing each other, both surprising each other. But it's a lovely revelation. It's a lovely thing to see that these two, the little girl and the grandma, get together so beautifully. I thought it was lovely. Yes, so we get to time pass by. Little girl, I close my eyes. I listen to my heart. I ignore the lies. I prepare to start. I remember your voice. It made me feel warm, warmer than the cold hands that taught me. Yeah, lovely. It's lovely to have that kind of relationship with another person. And this is beautifully explained in this particular poem. So thank you so much for sharing with us. It was a delight.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I kept listening to this piece, and I'm looking at it and going, it's definitely two-sided here. And when I look down in the words to use, rhyme, love, family, nature, death, and friendship. Because when you look at the end of the beginning, where is this? Surprise you, father, now it's okay. The little girl. Let me see here. Laid out in front of her, white and black, uncomfortable seat beneath her, her mind hazy and on crack, drugs made her mind go spiraling. And then she goes on about feeling it in your heart and whatever, but flow it through fingers. Your hands are cold. Time passed by, you know, and then I remember your voice. It made me feel warm. Warmer than the cold hands that taught me. And so I'm imagining the death of the grandmother or the girl. in one respect or another. But, you know, the next thing was, even if it falls short, flatlining is okay. It's a reminder of her disappointment. Very sad, somber piece. And definitely, it's not real obvious, but it's just obvious enough, you know, to just kind of sit there. And I thought it was very well done. So nice work. At least they are. Appreciate it.
Oh, I went the same way with you. The opening conversation is remembrance. That stanza you just read, laid out in front of her, white and black, uncomfortable seat beneath her, her mind hazing on the crack, dark made it go spiraling. I think you're right, that walks into the notion of death. And then the back end of this, time passes by, the little girl speaks again, that note to her mind, still there briefly, but the back end hits on that note of listen to the heart, try again if it doesn't start. Even if it falls short, flatlining is okay. It's a reminder of her disappointment, which goes right back to the ending of the original conversation between the little girl and grandma. It's not okay. I'm really just disappointing. So there's a deeper truth tonight beneath this. And it's back to you, Jean.
All right. Well, I have a poem for Weaver to read. And this one is by Passion's Promise, and it's called Cocktail Twist. So whenever you're ready, my friend.
Okay, my darling. Getting it now, Cocktail Twist. Oh, nice picture. Okay. I can taste the cocktail twist on your lips, the gentleness of your hands on my hips. Then lean in with power in a moist kiss. I am infatuated with this kiss of his. Tongue flicks over the bottom and top lip, and into each other's mouths it does a slip. Foreign language we will now speak freely, as heart and soul now dance within me. Flush the cheekbones as tongues entwine, then gentle the sucking you bring on mine. Gasping for air, we cling on to one another, going from friends to that of a lover. We peel the layers of this friendship away, begin the next stages with a little foreplay. End poem.
Great read, Kay. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you?
Bashes did a nice job with this. I like how she, this transition of relationship between the two. I'm a little slow with words some days. You know, and when she gets down to the end, it kind of makes it clear. You know, we peel the layers of this friendship away, begin the next stages with a little foreplay. You know, it's like something's changed suddenly or, you know, come to a changing point in the relationship completely. But I thought it was nicely done. You know, there's nothing like a good kiss. And a cocktail twist? Well, why not? You know. Yummy, yummy.
You sipping the Bombay again?
No, it's Aviator. Aviator, remember? Aviator.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You want to fly with the goodies. Okay.
Right.
Laurent, how about you? Oh, Laurent's gone. Pam, you're up next.
All right. Yeah, there's a wonderful rhyme and flow to it. Is a beautiful sensual rite. I always enjoy and appreciate sensual rites that focus on kissing and foreplay. You know, I thought it had wonderful lines, tongue flicks over the bottom, then top lips and into each other's mouth with the slip. Foreign language will now speak freely as heart and soul now dance within me. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
Oh, yes. It was a pleasure. A pleasure to read Passion's Promise. I really enjoyed it. It's subtle. You know, it's not so, it's not in your face, but you know what I mean? It's subtle and sensual, and it just builds beautifully. I love how they started off as friends, but after a couple of cocktails or six, things change. It's the power of booze. It does it every time. So I thought it was beautifully done. You lose all constraint, and no one is a lady when they've had a few drinks, let me tell you. It's just beautiful. I love the way it is. We all pretend, but we know what's happening. We know it. Have another little drink, darling. Oh, thank you. So we peel the layers of this friendship away, begin the next stages with a little foreplay. I thought it was beautifully done. Very, very neat. Thank you.
Wonderful comment there, Kate. I couldn't agree with you. Hey, after that comment, I don't think anybody can offer anything more. Nicely said. And I believe we got time for one more, Jean. What do you think?
I think so, too. And, Kate, you're not supposed to tell all our secrets, okay? Just letting you know. Pam, I have one
yes.
for you, honey.
Not like letting a cat out of a bloody bag.
Yeah, don't be telling everybody. Hey, there's the witness. She needs booze. Oh, my God. Too funny. Oh, my God. So, Pam, whenever you're ready, girl.
All right. This is Calloused Memory by Sapphire Rose. A thousand teardrops rat-a-tat-tat upon my doom. Where is the escape hatch, the key that locks forevermore? Webs of cracked glass seen in the winter of your eyes. I collapsed at the thought of you. Raw wounds fester with your memory, thorns too thick to view the beauty that once adorned our love nest, glaciers of mental objects matrix themselves to my thoughts. No more am I burdened by shards of tainted love, long slipped away. All but remains are the callous musings of a beaten-down girl with no escape from her past. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Boy, that was bleak. And Kate, why don't we start with you?
Okay. I can be bleak. I can be serious. A thousand teardrops rat-a-tat upon my doom. Oh, my goodness. Well, we started off beautifully. So it's going to be a bad night. Where is the escape hatch, the key that locks forevermore? Now, here's some poor, poor thing desperate to get out of what she's dealing with. Ooh, I collapsed at the thought of you, raw wounds fester with your memory. Ah, oh, yes, this is, yeah, deep and dark and unhappy and, oh, no more am I burdened by shards of tainted love long slipped away. All but remains are the callous musings of a beaten down girl with no escape from her past. Oh, have a few drinks, darling, it'll all become misty. That's a...
Oh,
it's so
nice
sad.
One.
It's too sad. Too sad, man. Too sad. But beautifully written, has to be said, Sapphire Rose. You write beautifully, so please excuse my inability to keep serious. I'm so sorry.
Well said, Kate. Thank you. Jean, how about you?
Well, I mean, what a bleak poem this is. So many sad and you know, horrible, really horrible couplets here. You know, so painful, actually. You know, webs of cracked glass seen in the winter of your eyes. I collapsed at the thought of you. Raw wounds fester with your memory. Born too thick to view the beauty that once adorned our love nest. Wow. You know, talk about just not a pleasant thing here. And it's very well, it's felt great, oh God, my brain, great imagery. And I think she really expressed it well. So thank you very much, Sapphire Rose, for sharing with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a powerful and emotive dark write. I like how she wrote it in these beautiful couplets through most of the poem. I particularly like that this speaks on the thought of trying to desperately escape the pain of the past. I really like thorns too thick to view the beauty that once adorned our love nest, glaciers of mental objects matrix themselves to my thoughts. It almost feels like the idea of having flashbacks. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Jean, we'll come back to you for the closing.
Well, I want to thank everyone who called in and hung out with us tonight. I really appreciated it. Rex, thank you as always for co-hosting with me. Pam, it's great to hear from you. Weaver, I always love when you come and join us on Fridays. Thank you, Laura, for hanging out with us. I appreciate you staying as long as you did. And wonderful, wonderful poetry all night long. I have a couple carryovers. I have two carryovers. I have one of Weaver's, and I have one for Dan DeShino. So I'll move those over to next Friday's board, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week. I hope you had a good week last week and a better one next week. And, we're starting off the new year pretty well, I think. And I hope everyone takes care of themselves. So thank you, thank you, thank you all.
Great night.
I'm
thank you so
anything.
Much, everybody.
It's always fun hanging with you, Weaver. Thank you so much. Pam,
my pleasure.
I don't know how Pam does it, but God bless her.
Oh, I know. She's amazing.
She is. She is. She really is. And, so thanks, everybody. And I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay.
Good night,
bye, everybody. Good night, my dears.